Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the meeting, we'd appreciate it. If you'd please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Next up, we have the approval of the agenda for this date, February the 4th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the agenda for February 4th, 2020.
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number four, discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for December the 17th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for the December 17, 2019 meeting.
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Move along to item number five, discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for January the 7th of 2020. Is there a public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for January 7th, 2020.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number six, that's today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moving to second, all those favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number seven. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning. Just to give you a bit of a heads up, we'll be working with the school district on pursuing a grant through the Bureau of Justice Assistance for school safety program, school training. It's in its preliminary phases right now, and I don't know if Jeff wants to speak about it in his capacity as the school board member, but working with through Pool Pact, and it's a coalition of counties across the state where it appears that Story County will be the lead in it, and the school district will be bearing the majority of the responsibility, but we're signing on with it. It'll be a partnership between school districts and sheriff's offices across the state and all the rural areas to address rural challenges to school security. That's all I've got, unless you have questions.
Any questions for the sheriff?
No questions.
None? Thanks, Sheriff. From our operations over at Public Works, Mike Northam.
Morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam, Operations and Projects Coordinator. Briefly on several items today. Number one, I'll start with the obvious. The braces are finally down on the Delta Saloon. Union Street is open again. I am in contact with Sierra Builders. And following their progress over there, I'm happy to report everyone seems to be pretty optimistic at this point. They're moving right along on the interior of that building, so I'll keep you posted as any developments there. Number two, the Divide building project is currently undergoing a redesign in an effort to control some costs. I know there's some discussions about doing some of this in-house. We'll have to see how that tumbles out. And I'll be keeping you advised as to progress on that as we make progress there. Item three, the community center on the Highlands. Sorry to say I've been a little remiss on this. I've been very busy with Title VI, Title IX compliance training and that kind of stuff, among a variety of other things. I'm almost done with a pretty good plan with that and an estimate, which I'll be presenting to the involved parties out there, Chief Nevin included. And following that, we'll bring that before you guys to see about that. Item four, the little training building, 141 North C, in front of the fire, or by the fire station there, sustained some wind damage. Some siding blew off the side of the back part of it there. Exposed some pretty significant dry rot in the structural sheathing and presumably the studs. I haven't gotten too deep into that. There's some discussion about what to do with that building, so I'm assembling some ideas for your consideration on that. And item five, the depot. I'm going to be getting a structural assessment on there, just a quick overview. We have a couple of known structural issues, and I'd like to gather up any others that are that can be determined, be discovered, get those addressed so that we can move forward with roof and fire sprinklers. I do have roof quotes coming this week. Fire sprinklers should be coming soon. Fire sprinkler quotes should be coming soon. And I'll be assembling those numbers into a comprehensive estimate to the entire body of work there. Last item is the water damage at the visitor center. The interior surface of the wall has been repaired. We've got the historic wainscot is now exposed. It's been restored and painted. It looks wonderful. We do have a little bit of water in that wall still. It's a cavity wall system, which apparently was a very common construction method back in the day to control water intrusion and provide some means of insulation. I have reason to suspect that cavity is now full of stuff, debris, and it's retaining some water in there. So there's going to be some dewatering efforts by Public Works. And following that, when we get that wall completely dewatered, we're going to be doing some exterior water sealing on that wall to prevent further water intrusion. Next item of business on the interior, though, is going to be we're getting the floors completely redone. The entire bottom floor is going to be sanded, sealed, and completely refinished. That's going to be going on 11th, 12th, and 13th. I've coordinated with Mr. Dotson for operations in that building during that work. And that's all I have for you today, sirs.
Great. Questions for Mike? Good. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Our labor relations, Jeannie Green?
Nothing to
report. Thank you, Jeannie. All right. We'll go over to the County Fire Marshal, Martin Acevedo.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martin Acevedo, State County Fire Marshal for the record. Mr. Northern stole my thunder regarding the Delta. Thanks a lot. But the Delta is going well. I was in there yesterday, and it's looking really great. The only other thing that I had to report is Fulcrum Project is going really well. We did a kind of a walk around the project with the fire department, battalion chief, regarding that project and just kind of showing them the systems and how it works and the fire command center and things like that. And that's going really well. They should be online this year, hopefully starting with their commissioning. AUECC, Asia Chemical on Waltham Way, they're going really well. We'll probably be doing the final life safety write-offs and sign-offs on probably around March or April, right around there. And then they'll be starting up their commissioning process. That's all I have. Any questions?
Any questions from Fire Marshal? Good. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you.
All right. Over tourism, the VCTC, Danny Johnson.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Denny Dotson, Tourism Director, for the record. Just a couple quick updates. First of all, I need to thank Commissioner Gilman. Lance, your leadership and your guidance, your support on the VCTC over the last several years has been instrumental in a lot of our success. But with that, I'd like to also welcome Commissioner Jay Carmona to that board and mention that on our first meeting here in February, we're going to do a special workshop. It's open to the public. It's a 5 p.m. meeting on the 13th. It'll be at the conference center, and the major discussion or presentation will be a marketing initiative for 2020. We do have a little additional revenue coming in at the moment, and we're going to be putting that to good use to sell Virginia City and Story County. So,
what's the date on that?
The 13th. Mm-hmm. The 5 p.m. And with that, as Mike had mentioned too, the visitor center is nearing completion on the inside. We are open, but during the last little bit of floor restoration, we are going to close the visitor center for 3 days. Administration offices will be open, but we'll trying to work around getting those floors stripped, sealed, and redone to make it something that hasn't been done in a long time. So we will be done down on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, then back up for business on that Friday. So that's all I have. Any questions? Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Danny. Mm-hmm. All right, Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbowski.
Nothing new today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jason. From the Recorder's Office, Marty Hansen Martinez.
Good morning, all. Marnie Hansen-Martinez, recorder. Here, just to let you know, we're still working on two imaging projects in our office, the historic records and a more modern set of records that we're doing a small upload with as a test run. But the older records are going through an inspection phase and quality control, so they're getting cropped, and they'll eventually be uploaded in our system. But that's what we're working on at the moment.
Correct. Projects that never end.
Yes, that's what we do. Yeah.
Questions for Martin?
Do you have a timeline on when that big first digitizing project will be ready?
We have the images now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow, yeah, we'll go through inspection and quality control and everything. But then it's indexing, which is it's tens of thousands of records. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll work on getting a timeline together.
Okay.
Yeah. See what we came up with.
Great. Thanks, yeah. Marty. Mm-hmm. All right. Our HR director, Jen Chapman.
Good morning. Just a quick little update from the personnel side of things. Wanted to let you know that we found a replacement for the community services director, and we hired Laura Mather, longtime community partner. So she's going to be starting at the end of this week, and she'll be occupying the small office that our planning department used to be in. So if you're around next week or so, stop by and say hi.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Jen. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nubbin.
Good morning. For the record, Jeff Nubbin, Fire Chief. A couple quick things. As you probably all saw in the news Saturday evening, the Turkey Meadows Fire District had a 67-acre wildland fire on the side of Peavine Mountain. Just a reminder to everybody that fire season is year-long these days, and to be extra vigilant in your outdoor activities. From what I've seen, they figure it to be human-caused, so you know, all those outdoor recreation activities need to be very careful. Even with snow on the ground, the wind will push through to the grasses and things underneath and carry into the larger fields. So just please be careful. Next is, I'm sure Commissioner Carmona will bring it up. He's having a gathering in the Highlands on Monday, talking about some fire prevention stuff. The fire marshal will be there along with our lead seasonal to talk about some prevention stuff, tree trimming, things like that. And I believe we'll have an arborist there as well. So hopefully it's some good information and the public comes out to see that and listen to it. So, and then we're in the process of hiring a fireman, testing and interviews will be at the end of this month, and hopefully we'll have that person on board by the first couple weeks of March. Any questions?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Our planning department, Kathy Cantfield.
Good morning. I just wanted to make you aware that this Friday, I'm coordinating with the State Division of Water Resources to do some flood training at Hillside Elementary School, and then from 4 to 4:30, we'll be bringing some hands-on exhibits over to the Lockwood Senior Center, so that'll be open to the public. Doing these kinds of things helps with our community rating system insurance program with FEMA, so and the NFIP, so that's we're trying to be a little bit more proactive with that. So, but the public is welcome to the Senior Center from 4 to 4:30.
Thanks. Okay. And congratulations on your appointment to the Carson Water Subconservancy District. From the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know that we received the final bound budget audits. They've been turned into taxation. They'll be online this week. And we are moving ahead with budget season. So any suggestions, comments, things you want to see change, please contact us.
Will do. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Austin Osborne. At the last meeting, I talked a bit about the status of the Tesla GSA payments and talked about where we are with that. I said currently what was known, and then I would look further into it to see the status. I have looked further into it. And at this point, I found that during negotiations between July and the present, the negotiations had rescheduled the invoices. The invoices per quarter were being paid at the end of the quarter instead of the beginning of the quarter, and that quarter two needed to be relabeled as quarter one. And from this point, as all of this has been adjusted and accounted for, I have also been on the phone with Chris Riley on a regular basis over the last couple of weeks as well as before that, and he has been totally cooperative in getting things straightened out, getting all of the invoices that need to be paid in and confirmed that they're in and ready to go. And at this point, we'll have Q2 and Q3 ready here probably in the next week, and then Q4 will be back on regular track. From this point forward, everything that was going on in the past in negotiations and these schedules is just being reverted back to the base language of the GSA, the government services agreement, and all the payments now will occur per quarter, as the GSA says, with no other modifications. That will happen from that point. And I will gladly, on a quarterly, at a minimum, and probably for every commission meeting, give an update of where the quarterly payments are for the GSA, as well as a brief background on Tesla negotiations for the next round. The current contract is not null and void. It is simply after 2018 goes to another rate for negotiations to occur, and our team is looking at all the staffing and all and fire and other requirements that would be negotiated into the next agreement. So I looked into it. Next time, we'll go that route. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Austin. All right. Story County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens. Thank you, Vanessa. All right. That concludes our committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start at the far end of the table with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. My next door neighbor here, Vice Chairman Carmona.
Just want to reiterate what Chief Nevin said. This coming Monday at the Highlands Fire Station, we're going to have a tree class. I can't really think of the proper term for it, but we will have a local resident who is an arborist go over some basics on tree trimming. We still do have approximately about a month or so left, so if you do need to trim your trees, you want to do it yourself, come out to the meeting. In addition to the arborist, we will have Fire Marshal Azevedo, and then Don Snyder from the fire department will be there as well. Should be a bunch of info. If you don't live in the Highlands and you do cut your own trees, come on by. Starts at 6 p.m. We'll try to wrap it up within an hour, hour and a half, but should be a lot of information. So,
very good. Thanks, Jay. Let's see. I've got a couple of things. One of the things that's happening as we speak right now is an event going on at the State Museum in Carson City, the old Nevada State Mint, or the Federal Mint down there. They are celebrating the sesquicentennial of the Mint, and they are casting silver medallions out of one of the old original press down there. And so if anyone is interested in the Nevada history, I think that's going to be going on all day today to go down there and purchase one of these 0.999% silver commemorative medallions. We're missing all the speeches because they're going on right now. But anyway, it's part of Nevada history that's going on. Last week, I attended a couple of events. One was the EDON monthly board meeting, and it's interesting to sit in these meetings because all of the major developers in the area attend this, and participants from the Washoe County School Board and the Airport Authority and others. And there's when you listen at these meetings, and that's what I do, I just go there to listen, is that there's an immense amount of development that's going on around us down there where the one gentleman down there has six residential projects going on simultaneously down there. That's going to, you know, bring in thousands of more residents, which is it's just an incredible amount of number that's going on down there. But then the gentleman who recently purchased Harris Casino downtown Reno, he talked about his project of converting that into residential housing now also, and a grocery store and all kinds of commercial use. So they're going to lose another casino in Reno, but they're going to gain a bunch more residents. So a lot going on. I attended along with County Manager Osborne, an organization that's formed. It's members of Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, Story County, the Airport Authority, the University of Nevada system. And it's called the Shared Federal Framework. And we participated in this about 6 years ago. And on a NACO trip to Washington, we teamed up and we were able to meet all the representatives there outside of the NACO board. And it's really good when we go on collaboratively and we let our representatives know what is our interest for northwestern Nevada, where we all live right here. So it's very informative. Everybody, we try to get everybody on the same page. And it looks like this is going forward again. We haven't been there in 6 years, but I think we're going to go this year. So it's just a great event. Commissioner Carmona and I attended the EDON luncheon in Reno last week, which was the largest one ever. There were 1,000 people who attended that to find out what's going on in the area. So a lot of the same players that I listened to at the EDON board were also there at the EDON luncheon. But let me tell you, even though it seems like things are slowing down a little bit, boy, I tell you, the growth around this is phenomenal, what's going on right now. So anyway, we need to be prepared for it here, too. Okay. That concludes our board comments. We'll move on now to item number 9. This is discussion and possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution 20-564 authorizing refund of excess funds paid for community development permits in the amount of $71,266.97. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This has been before you a couple times and was continued from the last meeting at the request of Commissioner Carmona to look into some things. But this arises from the fact that back in 2017, Community Development unilaterally raised the fees for permits on commercial and industrial permits without benefit of authority. An audit or an agreed-upon procedures process was undertaken to determine how much was the overcharge, and that is before you today. It's about $71,000 or so. There is no legal requirement that the money be refunded. It's a question that's addressed to the discretion of the board as to whether or not the application for the refund is just and whether the return of the money would be equitable. And that is what is being presented to you today in the resolution 2564.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Loomis. So, fellow commissioners have some thoughts on this?
I'll chime in first. Spent quite a bit of time on this. My position hasn't changed since day one. To me, Resolution 08269 is pretty clear. As I understand it, it talks about the raising of the fees for the building and the fire department. Why those weren't changed in 08, I have no answer. I wasn't around. My position hasn't changed on this. Like I said, I've tried to give this as much thought as possible. I think that the rates should have been changed in 2008. They weren't. That's how I see it. If we're going to continue charging 97 rates, I would like to request that a fee study be put in place. 20-year-old fees. I understand the logic that it's business friendly, but as far as I see it, the constituents and taxpayers are essentially subsidizing these very low building fees. So, like I said, I would like to suggest we do a fee study so that we can get our building fees current, and something a little more in line with 2020 rates. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay.
I have a question, Keith. So we've been told that there was a fee resolution in 08, and that fee resolution evidently was not used in this case. We went back to 97. And so my question is, why wouldn't that 08 resolution, which had the higher billing fees, why wasn't that procedure followed? Why wouldn't it apply to these fees here, since it was passed as a resolution?
The resolution specifically addresses the adoption of the International Fire Code, and that's the only code that it addresses within the resolution. The resolution itself references the adoption of the ordinance, which is Schedule 1 attached to that resolution, which itself only adopts the International Fire Code. It says nothing at all about the Uniform Building Code. There is no part of the resolution or the ordinance which increases the fees under the Uniform Building Code. That would take a separate action, which could have been done back in 2008, but it wasn't done.
So it would be the thought process that inadvertently the 08 fee structure was utilized, although it applied only to fire. Would that be the case?
Yes.
So we have had an audit. Our auditors have agreed that we're in error, and our auditors have agreed that we could pay back the $71,000, theoretically.
I wouldn't say that the auditors found that we were in error. What they did do was find that the amount of the overcharges that occurred in 2017 equals the $71,000 or so.
So, candidly, we may not apply the 08 resolution. It just doesn't apply to the building fees.
It does not.
Understand.
So, in the second paragraph, it actually addresses the building code. In the
second paragraph of what?
The resolution 08269.
Are you on page?
On the first page.
Okay, page.
In the supporting documents, there's a fee table set up for the building department. And also, in addition, I sent this to County Manager Osborne. Just pulling up my notes here. Do you see it in the second paragraph? Talks about Story County Code
15-04.020.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that not the building department?
That is part of the building code. It's the provision that authorizes the Board of County Commissioners to adopt uniform codes by resolutions.
Okay.
So in and of itself, it does not change the fee structure for building department.
It does not.
Correct?
Thank you.
So, Jay, I think I agree with you that we should probably look at the fee structure to see, you know, I don't know if the taxpayers are subsidizing any of these building permits, but I think we should review it to make sure that we're, you know, where we should be with our permitting fees.
When I say they're subsidizing it, I simply mean that if the building department is operating, and I use this term very loosely, if they are not breaking even, then I would consider that to be essentially a subsidy by the taxpayers. So if the building department offers these great services, but they can't or they aren't able to at least operate, you know, not in a loss and not at a gain, then I think we've got to look at those fees. You know, like I said, I think the building department's done a great job. You know, they basically knocked down the permit time to a week, whereas in Washoe County it's months. So I think if our fees are at least in line with everybody else, our biggest selling feature is that you're not going to wait 4 months to get your project done. So that's at least my logic as far as raising the fees.
Well, I think we can look at the fee structure and see if we need to adjust it. On this issue here of showing that we've overcharged the applicants to $71,000, it's been pointed out to me by Mr. Loomis that we're not legally obligated to return that money because it was never asked for to be returned. But I think it's an ethical thing that we should look at to return this money since they were inadvertently overcharged. And so if it isn't in the fee structure to charge them that amount, I think it's only right that we refund the money to those applicants. How about we open up for any public comment? Someone like to speak on this item? Mr. Thompson, you have your hand up first.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, a question on that 2008 resolution. As I understand it, attached in the supporting documents for that resolution was a permit fee table 105.1.1, and it says that that table was an adjusted UBC 1997 table 1A. And the question is, does the presence of that table in that resolution mean that it was applicable to building code or to the building fees or not? And if so, why? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The resolution adopts the International Fire Code. The following Schedule 1 is the actual ordinance, which itself adopts the International Fire Code. The attachment, Exhibit A, provides for amendments to the International Fire Code and establishes a fee schedule to be set forth within the International Fire Code as adopted by this board. It does not purport to change the fees within the Uniform Building Code. It simply sets out a schedule of fees based upon the old fees that were set out in the Uniform Building Code as the fees to be applied to the fire code. It does not itself change anything in the building code.
So curious, why would the building code even be included in that resolution?
I assume it's because it was a source of fees that could be utilized by the fire department in establishing whatever they were going to charge. This is set by, so the board adopted the fees as set out in the Uniform Building Code in 1997 and then said that they're going to increase it by 10%, which is 1% a year to address inflation. And that was applied, but it only applies to the International Fire Code, not to the Building Code.
Should that resolution be signed by the Board of Fire Commissioners?
It should.
So we need to rectify that as well going forward.
Well, there are numerous references to the Nevada Revised Statute Chapter 474, which is the chapter providing for the creation of fire protection districts, and provides that the Board of County Commissioners is ex officio the Board of Fire Commissioners for any fire protection district that's created. So the board is still going to act as the ex officio board of the Fire Protection District, and I think the language of the resolution could have been cleaner. They could have referred to fire commissioners rather than the Board of County Commissioners, but I think the intent is clear that is the board acting as the Board of Fire Commissioners.
So you have the public comment?
Commissioners, for the record, Jeff Nevin. In 2008, if I'm not mistaken, the 474 Fire District was not in effect. You all sat as the Board of Commissioners for the Fire Department. There was no separation at that point. In 2017, when this adjustment was made, there was no fees going to the Fire District. Those were going to community development through an interlocal agreement. I don't receive any of those fees in the Fire District currently.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, go ahead.
Chief, for that MOU agreement that's in place today, is it correct that those fees that are collected here go to for fire inspections?
Fire inspections through the community development. The Fire District doesn't do any of the fire inspections. All those functions are within community development.
Great. Great. Thanks, Chief. All right. Any other public comment? Hearing none. All right. I'll ask my fellow commissioners for a motion to go ahead and approve this.
Well, it appears the action before us is a $71,000 refund. We're really having nothing to do with an inadvertent, it appears to me, mistake that was made back when. I can see why folks might have considered relying on the 08 resolution. But that being said, the resolution didn't hold the fees invoked, and therefore, I believe probably there was a $71,000 overpayment, inadvertent or not. So I would make the motion to refund the $71,000 fees at this point, but with a serious consideration that we review the 08 and the current fee structure and bring that thing current.
It might have been their intention that they were trying to, that both items were to be combined, but legally it just it isn't binding because it's not in the
I agree. And so, although we might like to feel that we could resurrect that and take care of that today, we can't.
Right.
So I believe that it's reasonable to refund the $71,000.
Commissioner Gilman, if I could recommend that you included in your motion the adoption of resolution number 20-564, which makes the findings that justify the refund.
Are you going to read the finding?
I can read the resolution if you like.
If you believe that first, I'm fine with that.
This is resolution 20-564. Whereas NRS 354.220 subsection 4 provides for the refund of monies paid into the county treasury where, in the opinion of the Board of County Commissioners, the applicant for a refund has just cause for requesting a refund and granting the refund would be equitable. And whereas the Story County Department of Community Development erroneously increased certain permanent fees by 10% in 2017, and whereas an agreed-upon procedures review by the accounting firm of DiPietro and Thornton established that the overpaid amount of unabated permit fees equaled $71,266.97, and whereas application for refund of the overpaid amounts is made on behalf of the persons or entities overcharged by county staff, now therefore is it hereby resolved as follows. The Board of County Commissioners of Story County finds that there is just cause for the making of an application for a refund of the overpaid permanent fees and that a refund of the overpaid amounts is equitable. The county manager or his designee is hereby authorized to provide for the refund of the overpaid fees to the persons or entities so entitled.
Okay. So that's read in to the motion. So I have a motion. Do I have a second? I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
All righty. Motion carries. Moving on to item number 10, discussion of possible action, discussion for possible action. Approve and authorize the county manager to sign an 18-month contract between Story County and Lakota HRM LLC, a Nevada limited liability company, to provide labor relations guidance and administration, interpret and guide application of labor agreements and personnel policies, perform and oversee administrative investigations, and ensure due process and discipline are administered in compliance with union agreements and personnel policies. Mr. Osborne.
Sir, Chairman, Commissioners, thank you, Austin Osborne. Jeannie Green was hired as our labor relations manager. Since that time, she's not only been finishing up past labor cases, which fortunately have improved, she's taken on quite a bit of wider scope of work, including working on the 474 Fire District, CBA matters, dealing with both unions, arbitration, and labor cases. So she, what's really important is what she's doing is in replacement of what if we had contract attorneys doing before, saving the county very significant. So we're recommending here that Lakota, which is Jeannie, would be under an 18-month contract. This one does not have a evergreen clause. So once 18 months is up, 18 months is up to provide these services to Story County, not only labor, but also other HR services dealing with these sorts of paralegal matters. We believe that this would be better served by an LLC in this case because it provides more flexibility. Timing, there's a lot of ebb and flow in the job where she may work 40 or 60 or 70 hours one week and maybe 20 hours another week. And then this is accounting for all the time spent on the job and savings to the county.
Commissioners, have any questions for Austin? Open up for public comment. Public comment regarding this item. Okay. As outlined by the county manager, this is the best way to go with this. So I'm going to ask Commissioner to motion to approve.
Hi, Commissioner Carmona. Motion to authorize the county manager to sign an 18-month contract between Story County and Lakota HRM, LLC, a Nevada limited liability company, to provide labor relations guidance and administration, interpret and guide application of labor agreements and personnel policies, perform and oversee administrative investigations, and ensure due process and discipline are administered in compliance with union agreements and personnel policies.
I'll second.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration of letters of interest for appointment of planning commissioners to serve the at-large on the Story County Planning Commission. So, this will be Kathy Canfield.
Good morning again. The Planning Department received four letters of interest for the at-large Planning Commission vacancy. One person did drop out due to time constraints on their part. So the Planning Department and Jen Chapman included interviewed the three other individuals. All three had qualities that would be desirable for a planning commissioner, and we thank all three of them for being willing to serve Story County. After the interviews, staff is recommending that Mr. Brian Staples serve the at-large Planning Commission position. We believe based on his lifetime experience and his working with other government agencies such as OSHA and FEMA that he'd be a very good fit for our Planning Commission. He's in the audience today also if you have any questions for him or for me.
Thank you. I personally know Brian, and I know him to be an upstanding gentleman who is involved in community service here, so I think he will be a nice addition to the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. I'll open up for public comment. No public comment? Okay. No. It's the staff and my recommendation that a motion be made to go ahead and select Brian Staples as the newest Planning Commissioner.
Before I make the motion, I just want to state I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here. It's obviously important. I'd like to see their candidates here, but not the case.
Anyway, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Carmona, motion to appoint Brian C. Staples to serve the at-large position on the Story County Planning Commission.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Yep. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kathy. Move along now to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $100,000 with Loomis and Associates for as-needed assistance and professional planning engineering services related to any planned unit development and or large land subdivision applications or proposals in Story County. This contract will provide assistance to county planning staff with certain civil and engineering review of such applications and projects, although there are no such applications occurring or anticipated to occur at this time. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners and Mr. Chairman. I think the agenda language is pretty self-explanatory. There are no applications in at this time or anything pending for large planned unit developments, but we need to be prepared. This will be a firm. Loomis and Associates has agreed under contract to be on standby at no cost unless there is a project to provide critical application engineering and civil engineering design review of any such applications that come. And the amount would not to exceed $100,000. At this point, our codes, I've been asked this, our codes do not provide for the developer to pay for this. Bob Morris is actually looking at updating our Title 16 as we speak to provide that, where the developer will provide this cost, and we believe that will be with you shortly.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Austin. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin? Great. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Carmona, authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $100,000 with Loomis and Associates for as-needed professional planning and engineering services related to any planned unit development and or large land subdivision applications or proposals in Story County.
I'll second your motion.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 13 is to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. This brings us up to item number 14, discussion for possible action, revision of the fire chief job description.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, we were provided with the redline versions of the change in the county manager and fire chief job descriptions. I've put those copies of the redline versions out by the agenda so they're available to the public.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis.
Thank you. Jeannie Green, excuse me. The revision of the fire chief job description is one of the first steps we're taking in separating the fire district from the county. There were three primary revisions in the job description. The first reflects that the fire chief is appointed by and reports to the fire board. Previously, it indicated that the position reported to the county manager. Second, we revised the job description to reflect the fire chief oversees the interlocal agreement with the county on the fire inspections, the code enforcement, and code adoption. Previously, it had that the fire chief actually, those duties were performed within the district. And third, we added a section for the evaluation of the performance of the fire chief. And the language in that section is the same as it is for the county manager. And it would be the fire board would evaluate the performance on the employee's anniversary date. So in this case, you would evaluate the performance 1 year from now. So that would give you an ample opportunity to actually assess the performance. There is a provision if you want to do an evaluation at a time other than the annual evaluation, you can do so. And I will be bringing back to you at some time in the future an evaluation process for your consideration. So those are kind of the highlights of the revisions. And Chief Nevin was involved and is fine with these changes.
Very good. Any questions for Jeannie?
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. That's it. I'll call for a motion to approve.
Based on recommendation by staff and in conformance to Story County and Story County Fire District administrative policies and procedures, I, Commissioner Carmona, motion to approve the revision to the fire chief's job description.
I'll second your motion.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you unanimously. Good to hear, Lance. Alrighty. So at this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Fire Protection District Board and reconvene to the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Brings us to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action, revision of the county manager job description. Ms. Green.
This is a minor change to the county manager job description. Under the previous language, it indicated that the county manager would be evaluated in the first quarter of the calendar year. And we are recommending revision to make the evaluation on the county manager's anniversary date. So, and that's consistent with how all other employees in the county are evaluated. They're evaluated on their anniversary date, and on that date, they are eligible for consideration for a salary increase. And so we wanted to make this consistent.
That makes sense, because when we went ahead and revised the county manager's job description last year, I think we were probably in the first quarter thinking that that would be ample time a year to, but not taking in consideration someone else taking over that job and giving them 1 year performance. So.
Yes, and so this would be a rolling year for anyone that you hire, depending upon when they come.
Right, it's a good idea.
It's a good catch. Commissioners, any questions for Ms. Green?
I believe it's an appropriate change.
I do too. Any public comment? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Based on recommendation by staff and in conformance with the Story County administrative policies and procedures, I, Commissioner Carmona, motion to approve the revisions to the county manager's job description.
I'll second your motion.
Moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. You know, backtracking a little bit on that, ever since I've been elected to this job, we're always doing housekeeping with ordinances and whatnot, because the rules change, the laws change, and we have to keep up with the times, and having Ms. Green go ahead reviewing these things. I know this isn't going to be the last time that we see her coming up and changing some, making corrections to policy procedures. So, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It helps bring us into the 21st century.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Next up is item number 17. Discussion of possible action. Approval of business license second readings, A through H.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they recommend that all of the items, A through H, all the second readings are approved.
Very good. Is there public comment regarding these business license second readings? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
All right, Commissioner Carmona, move to approve the second reading of business licenses A through H.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve all business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18, public comment. Public comment today? Going once. Going twice. See you in 2 weeks.